Blog Talk Radio.
You are in the bullpen with Dr. T, hosted by Dr. Marvin Thompson, an empowering educator featured on CNN, PBS, CBS Morning Show, and the Oprah Winfrey Network. In the Bullpen with Dr. T covers the relevant issues of the day affecting our schools, families, and communities. Here's your host, Dr. T.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. And for all you business people out here today, entrepreneurs, one of the fastest growing industries in this country, we have, again, our second installment of many to come of a show about business, particularly entrepreneurs. And we always try to bring you people who are in the know. Today, we are very fortunate to have with us two people I consider friends, very knowledgeable, and I love listening and learning from them. First, I'm going to introduce the person who really started this entire process, Gerald DuBose. And if you all remember from last month, the last week in August, we had Gerald on as a guest, and Gerald talked to us about business practices. And if you remember, he is an author also of a book, an upcoming book called The Formula for Success. He has authored several other books, at least two other books. In addition, he is a keynote speaker, and I believe, Gerald, if I read correctly, you just got back from, let me make sure I'm right, Cincinnati. Is that right?
I've done a little traveling here, there, and everywhere.
Well, I was impressed. I was like, my man got back off a plane and got on this show. He's good to go. So glad to have you back, Gerald. And we have with us today our first-time guest, but it won't be his last, is Art Jones. And Art has worked in technology sales at Fortune 500 companies and startups. He's the founder and principal consultant at his latest venture, which is the Art of Standing Out. And Art, I got to know, please tell me before I go any further, did you do that intentionally, Art Jones, Art Standing Out? Please just tell me upfront.
When I was in the corporate world, I met a guy from Australia who had a small company. It was called Arts PDF, a little tiny company. But I said, wow, his name's Arthur, my name is Arthur, and he's got a company named after his nickname, Art. I want to do that one day. And so I called myself being clever, but perhaps later in the show we can talk about how meaningful the acronym TAOSO has become for me as a business model.
Well, you know, everything you just said, aside from your name and Art, is totally foreign to me, and this is why I love this show, because I learned something. The acronyms you just used, ITSO, I have no idea. My pen is ready. Is at the ready when you get there. Gentlemen, the topic for today is proper communication in business. And it was funny when I read that, when Gerald sent to me the topic, I immediately went, oh, okay, I got that. And here's what came to mind for me. Communicating goals, communicating progress, reinforcing success, identifying barriers and overcoming them, all of those planning pieces, right? Encouragement to your employees and coworkers as you go through the journey. Those were like the immediate pieces that came to mind. And I had a very, very brief conversation with Gerald just before the show, and he basically was like, no, there's more to it than that. So this is why I love doing these shows. So you two are the experts. And, Gerald, I'm going to pick up where you started, where you and I left off. Why don't you start where you did with me? And you basically said, well, Dr. T, you're partly right, but this is more about storytelling.
Oh, absolutely. This is really, we're talking about the glory in the story of your business as well as your own personal life. Your story controls so much of how, one, you are received, and two, how you're understood. So the importance of being able to communicate the story of what you do in business is where so many startups and especially budding entrepreneurs fall short. And it's something that Art and I talk about a lot. It's something very near and dear to my heart, me having a background in sales for years. One of the first things I ever learned was the old rhyme, facts tell, story sell. Facts tell, story sell. So if you are unable to convey exactly what it is you do in a meaningful manner, not in the jargon manner, not, you know, we duplicitously make multiple latitudes upon, no, nobody gets that. That's industry jargon. You have to explain it in a way that people can get it. If you can't do that, your business is going to fall short, and that's really what we want to talk about. The effectiveness of that and the effectiveness as well as what you talked about, being able to convey that to your employees. Because as a leader, one of our main jobs is to sell the vision of where we're going. And a lot of people fall short.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense because people work with people. They don't work for facts. They work for people. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You want to know who you're working with and why. What's motivating them? There's a lot of power behind the story.
There's. Can I build on that? I just want to build on what you both said there, because I think, you know, I come from a sales background, selling technology, and when I joined the ranks of the sales force, I believed that my gift of gab was going to make me the superstar salesperson, and it wasn't long after getting on board that I got my first lesson in sales, which was effective listening. And I said, well, wait a second, this is the polar opposite. I'm not supposed to talk all the time to sway and move people toward my offer. I'm supposed to listen to what they want. Is that right? They said, yeah, you have two ears, two eyes, and one mouth. Use them accordingly. And this notion that facts tell and stories sell is 100% correct. But another correct and foundational principle of communications in business or in life is the better we are at listening to hear what that other human, right? Because I think, Dr. T, you said it, people always matter, right? And because people always matter, we should be spending our time listening to what people are saying. So when we insert our answer or our commentary into that conversation, we're giving them exactly what they're asking for. And that's collaborative communication, the way we've envisioned collaborative authority to work. But absent listening, all the talking in the world doesn't help us communicate.
That's very powerful, and I like the idea. I love how you brought that out, two eyes, two ears, one mouth, and they should be used accordingly. I wrote that down, by the way. That's very powerful. If you're an entrepreneur, and I shared this before on the last podcast, as someone who started a nonprofit, I had no idea that how cumbersome starting a nonprofit was. But like many people who start out, I thought my mission alone and the value of the mission was going to be enough to get the support I need. And I found out very quickly that it needed a heck of a lot more. Help me understand how storytelling accentuates marketing strategies. How do the two of those go together, or are they separate?
I believe they're one and the same, and I will defer to Brother Art because I know he's probably salivating at that question. I will allow Brother Art, please go first.
well, you know, I think that, you know, Brother, the maestro, as I call him, because he's a master of so many things, and story is one of them. He coined a phrase that I think kind of encapsulates the answer to the question that you're asking, Dr. T. And he has a workshop he calls Glory in Your Story. And, you know, if you just think about those words, the glory in your story, you know, when you dig into who we are as humans, right? Story is what we use to govern societies, right? Story is what we use to rule the roost. The person, I think Plato said, the person that tells the best story rules the world. So if your brand doing anything, if you're a human trying to accomplish the dog training, the more compelling story you tell your dog about the reason he should sit, the sooner he's going to sit. The more compelling story I tell my team of 500 people that our mission is to sell more and be more interested in serving our customers, the more compelling that story is, the more prepared those people are going to be out be able to go out and fulfill that mission because they buy into the story. Because humans are wired for story. Think about it. Snapchat, stories. Instagram, stories. Mary Had a Little Lamb, the first story some people ever heard. Their parents read to them. Why? We love story. We have always used story when we were sitting around the fire 40,000 years ago. We told stories by using the colored dirt we could find in the earth to paint on cave walls to communicate the stories of where the hunt would be in the next season. Humans are wired for story, and what's interesting about the little narrative that I'm sharing is that we've known that anecdotally forever. Now, here we are in the 21st century, and neuroscience proves to us by putting people in a CAT scan machine and giving them an MRI or drawing blood before we tell a story, and then the person hears the story drawing blood again, we know that a thoughtful, insightful, and compelling story, thought-provoking story, can change the biology in humans because that blood sample that was taken before the story will be different than the blood sample that was taken after the story. If it was a sad story, there'll be cortisol in the bloodstream. There'll be oxytocin, the moral molecule. Story's powerful. If you're a business and you're not using story to work with your internal customers, your employees, to call them to action to make the business grow, and you're not using story to talk to your partners and talk to your customers, potential customers you want to call to action, you're missing a huge opportunity because I'll say it again. Plato said it first. Those who tell the best stories rule the world. It's been that way for 2,500 years since Plato. It's been that way for 40,000 years since we started telling stories around the fires.
I want to agree with you, brother. That was well said. Go ahead, Dr. T. I apologize.
No, I'm just sitting here taking that all in. And when you start talking about the chemical changes that take place in the body, and I understand that very well. I just never conceived that storytelling and how we feel has that much of an immediate impact and is so telling internally. This is truly a science. Let me move to – I want to take a quick break, but when we come back – guys, I love to get some examples. There are people out here listening, and this is why even Gerald – put this group together and why we all participate is because we want to try to help other people work through quicker than we did. And as we understand it, some of the obstacles in starting a business and running one, I've got a couple for you guys when we come back, but I'd love to get y'all's take on what a good storyline might need to include.
Oh, I got a ton of stuff for you.
I knew you would. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Guys, we are on with Collaborative Authority founder Gerald DuBose and entrepreneur and sales and marketing expert Art Jones discussing the importance of proper communication in business. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back 2 minutes, 7 seconds.
Join us every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern in the Bullpen with Dr. T. Become empowered. Get involved. Follow Dr. T on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. T Educates, and on the web, visit www.drteducates.com.
There is a decision.
Welcome back to the Bullpen, your host, Dr. T.
All right, we are back with Gerald DeBose and Art Jones. Gentlemen, we're talking about proper communication and communication in business. What is a good storyline? We established that stories are important, even physically they have an impact. What's a good storyline? What are some things you have to have? What makes a good story?
Well, one thing that Brother Art brought up last time, and I just want to echo some of what he was saying, is it has to be compelling. If you don't create emotion with the story, because as much as we like to think we're logical beings, we're not logical beings. We're emotional beings. That's why when somebody bores us with their story or what they're saying, what do? We tune them out. So you have to establish, one, an emotional connection. And I'm not talking about it has to be sappy love all the time, and love isn't sappy, but some people feel it's sappy. It depends what mood you are trying to create, because the story can actually dictate the mood of the room. So the first thing is emotionally connect to people. And the simplest way to do that is, in any type of presentation, is cater to what your audience pain is. Whatever that main pain is that you're there to address, talk about it, because we can all identify with going through a struggle. Why? Because at some point, no matter what point of time we are, we're all struggling with something. And if somebody starts to talk about that thing that is causing you pain, that hurt that is lingering and keeping you up night after night after night, you have their attention to address the emotion that you, the tone that you want to set, which is the emotion, and that is done by connecting with whatever the pain point is for your audience.
Can I build on that, Dr. T? Because this is a great opportunity to bring in one of my favorite phrases, which is, but you got to do the work. Now, what that means is that we all have stories, right? But what Brother Bose just articulated was knowing your audience. Now, you know, we've established that facts tell and stories sell. We've established that listening to your audience is important. Knowing what questions to ask only comes after you've not just listened to your audience, but before you got in front of that audience, you did your due diligence, you did your research and said, my audience is going to be between the ages of 28 and 45 or 39 and 65, and they're from the pharmaceutical industry or they're farmers. If you know your audience, then as the maestro said, you'll know what their pain points are. But you'll only know what the pain points are if you've done your due diligence to study pharmaceutical pain points or to study farming pain points, whoever your audience is represented by. Or maybe it's an age demographic. They're millennials or they're boomers or they're Generation X. They live in the city. They live in the country. If you understand who your audience is, then you can tell thoughtful and insightful, compelling stories that resonate with them. And I liken it to being like puzzles. You know, we've all been in some place in our life where we had a box of puzzle pieces. And when we spread them out on the table, we looked at it and we said, I'm not sure I can finish this. This is crazy. These shapes, I don't see where they go together. Storytelling is much like that. Think of your audience as puzzle pieces. If they've come because they're from the pharmaceutical industry, they all come with a certain mindset and a certain discipline and a certain industry that they support with opportunities and challenges and struggles and all that baked into what pharma is. That's a puzzle piece. When you've done the due diligence to understand that puzzle piece that makes that audience, then when you tell the thoughtful and insightful and compelling story, your story can insert itself directly into the narrative of your audience, thusly fitting your piece directly onto their piece, and they go, oh my God, singing my song. He not only told me a compelling
right.
story, but he gets me. And think about when you go to the movies, you're reading the book, you can't put the book down, you go to the movies or you sit looking at Netflix and you start leaning forward. You've been drawn into the story, right? You tuned into that story because you knew it was going to be something that resonated with you. You didn't know how compelling it was going to be until you got to watching it. The speaker mm-hmm. that sits stands at the podium is being invited because he has some content that's valuable to that audience. But that speaker still needs to do due diligence to, as I like to say, do the work. Because if the speaker doesn't commit to do the advanced work to really know the narrative of the people before them, then she's going to stand at that podium and start shooting missiles over the head of the audience. It might be a fun talk. It might make them laugh and, you know, might make them do a lot of things. But will you impart the thing that they really need without doing the work? I don't think so.
That's true. And I just want to build on that one more time, because that's such a very, very, very poignant point. Is storytelling is science, but it's also an art. And the mistake that most people make is that they think they are great storytellers. Because
What are some common mistakes you've seen in storytelling? You're going right where my next question was going to be.
What are some of the biggest mistakes
you've seen?
The biggest mistakes are, one, what we were just talking about. They haven't done the work. They don't know what their audience is, and they feel like they need to tell the audience what they should be feeling or what they should be doing without an understanding of how they are going to serve that community. You don't understand what they're going through, then it's no way I'm going to listen to you. It's the same problem that a lot of speakers have when, for example, I grew up in the inner city. When we had speakers come to the school, 9 times out of 10, we ignored the crap out of them. We didn't care that you worked at IBM or you are a big wig at some major corporation. Why? Because we can't relate to you. And they didn't come in to talk with us. They came to talk at us. This
there
is
you
what
go.
You should do. And blah, 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 blah. Nothing to connect to us. Just bloviating about how great they are and this is the great experience they had. Well, that's not where we're at.
The maestro nailed it. That's what happens when you talk at people, because you haven't done the work to know who you're talking to. You haven't done the work to understand their narrative. And this is where great leaders lead. Leaders are imbued with the knowledge that they have to nurture their emotional intelligence, which is empathy. And when they know their audience, they know their employees, they know their partners, they know their customers, they have empathy for them. And so that empathy allows them to say, I need those people to go out. I need my salespeople to go out and sell more. And before their salespeople, they're not telling them, go sell more, I'm going to fire you. A good leader says, the good leader knows this. He knows what Plato knew. He knows what Aesop knew. He knows what Gilgamesh knew. The story of Gilgamesh is one of the oldest stories on the planet, right? That story is not different than Star Wars. That story is not different than The Wizard of Oz. They all follow the same formula. A good storyteller stands in front of who he's telling the story to, that wants to call them to action, to get them to do something that they think is impossible. And that storyteller takes the role of the mentor and tells a story in such a way that the audience becomes the hero in the story they're being told.
Absolutely. I would liken it to this, because my definition of poetry, which was one of my first forms of storytelling, and I didn't even know I was telling stories at the time. I just wanted to make words pretty. The definition of poetry for me has always been the painting of a picture with words, where you create a fantasy and you draw the reader in and make it their reality. That's how I've defined poetry. But that is actually the definition of what great stories do. You find yourself in that story. You find the relatability to what's happening or what has happened or the outcome that they are seeking in that story, and it becomes what you want. It's your existence, so you now have rapport. And that's what great storytellers do. That's what great stories do. And that's the mistake that most people make.
Here's an example that everyone listening and listening now live and listening on replay can relate to. It's popular culture. There's a guy, Joseph Campbell. He was an academic. He dedicated his academic life to studying mythology. And as he studied all the myths throughout the history of our planet, he discovered that there is a common theme in all the stories that are told. Because remember, humans are wired for story. We haven't come up with different models for telling stories. They all follow basically the same formula. This formula was uncovered by Joseph Campbell, and it's called the hero's journey. And throughout ages, whether you're Native American Indian or you're Indian, or you're from Vietnam or from Harlem, it doesn't matter. When we tell stories, they follow the same formula. And here's one from popular culture, Star Wars. It's Luke and Yoda. And Luke says, "Master, moving stones around is one thing, but this is totally different." This is that scene where Luke is standing beside a pit of oozing muck that's captured his plane, his light speeder, and it's sinking. And Yoda's exhorting him to use the force, Luke, and lift it up. And Luke said, "Master, I can't do it." And Yoda says, no, it's different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned." That's Yoda, the mentor telling Luke. And then Luke says, as he focuses quietly, "All right, Master, I'll give it a try." Luke's going to become the hero in the story, because after he focuses, he winds up a bit, goes into the woods, and he watches Yoda lift it up out of the water with the force. But when Luke comes closer to the pit and sees that light speeder floating above the muck, out of the muck, lifted by the force, he becomes a believer, and henceforth, he becomes a hero in the story called Star Wars. But at that moment, it's the storytelling that Yoda tells that the mentor makes Luke the hero, and makes there's a lot that's been written about the notion that we're Homo sapien. There's a body of thinkers that are invested in the power of story for leadership development, and they call it Homo narrans, right? Which is the human storyteller, because we've been telling story as long as we've been alive. We've been telling stories the same way as long as we've been alive, following the formula of the hero's journey. But you stand at the podium. Your role in telling that story is to make everybody in the audience the hero in the story you're telling, so they can take that story you just gave them away and do something with it. Be a better leader, be a better father, be a better dog trainer, whatever it is. Your job as a storyteller is to make them take the tool you give them in the story that you share, so they can become the hero in their own private journey, hero's journey. It's like miraculous when it happens, you know, is doing the work that I do with clients. I know that the workshops that the maestro, Brother DeBose, conducts when he does the glory and story. The reason glory is in story is because when you get the fact that the narrative that I tell myself about who I am and what I do and why I do it, and how people are changed after they get my offer, that's like the programming of a computer. If my narrative is wrong, I'm not going to deliver what I need to deliver. I'm going to be over here in left field when I should be on home plate.
Hey, Brother Art, that reminds me just of the original language, which is still in computers. It was called BASIC. Now they call it, it's command prompt, but that's still BASIC. It used to say syntax error when you put in the wrong information. So
that's right. That's right.
It's so important to know what it is, who you're talking to, and why you are talking to them. Go ahead, Art.
No, I was going to go back only for 2 seconds and say, just remember Plato. This might be the third time I've said it, but it's important to hear it again. Plato said he lived 2,500 years ago. He said, he or she who tells the best story can rule the world. And we're trying to share really simple rules, right? understand that it's really not a formula. It's two things. Believe that you have something to offer. Truly believe it. Make that your narrative. And then whenever you have a chance to share what you know, do it in a way where your goal is to make your audience of one person or 1,000 people the hero after getting the tools that you give them with the story you share.
Right. And I would add to that, because I know Dr. T has another question, but I would add to that, don't just share what you know, share what you've been through. That's what makes you relatable. Share.
I don't have
the struggle.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. T. I apologize.
No. I didn't have one question. I've got 1,000. You guys are dropping some knowledge. I know for me, I've got 6 questions I just wrote down, because you're leading me to – I'm evaluating what I thought I knew, right, and I understood. And I'm a consumer like everyone else. So I actually started writing a list of things that, like, okay, these are people and companies that I'm loyal to for whatever reason. And I started reflecting on what story do they tell. And stories, each of them had a different way of telling a story. But they all had one common thread for me, and it was comfort and ease. Whatever they were doing made things comfortable and easy for me. And that was the nexus of every one of their stories as it related to me, the consumer. So that's the initial thought I had. And I've been stuck with that for the last 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
But here's the key. As the brands that are listening, if you don't do the work to understand who your ideal customer is and know their narrative, know what they celebrate when they had a success, know what they agonize over, it keeps them up at 3 o'clock in the morning when they've got pain in their business or their life. If you don't know those things, then you won't know what stories to tell. Because if your job is to eliminate the pain in their business or their life, you got to know who they are. You got to know what they struggle with. You got to know what they celebrate. You got to know, you know, all the things that you can know about them. That requires you to do the work. That's due diligence. And it's not like you can go from zero to storytelling in 6 seconds like a supercar. You can say, I want to tell more compelling stories. But if you ask me, storytelling is easy. We're human. We tell stories. That's how it goes. The hard work comes from knowing the audience that you're trying to reach. And if the audience that you're trying to reach is an audience of ideal prospects, then get to know them. And then just the way that Dr. T said, that you will know that the story will resonate with you and you'll become aligned with that brand. If you want people to align with your brand, know who you want to align with your brand. And think of it this way. Here, I'll summarize it, say it this way. I've suggested that humans have been the same for 40,000 years. We've got the same hippocampus, the same limbic brain, the same. We've been doing things fright and flight. You know, it's just how we roll. We've got these computers in our hands and on our wrist now. We're more sophisticated, but we still are the basic same humans as we've always been. We respond to story the same way we always have. And when you do the work to understand the stories that those people will respond to, then you can rule the world. So don't shortcut it. You got to, I mean, I've got clients that I can show them how to get more likes or more eyeballs to look at their website. And the more eyeballs they get, the more people will click on buy, and they'll buy and they'll sell more stuff. But they really want to build a tribe, because storytelling is tribal, right? When the New York Yankees tell a story about Jeter going into, you know, Champion Park, I respond to that story because they're talking to me. I'm part of the Yankee tribe, right? I'm from the Northeast. That's my tribe, right? If I hear something about the Red Sox, I turn away. That's the rival tribe, right? Brands are the same way, and each brand has an opportunity to speak directly to the audience that they're in service to, but you got to know who you serve. And I'll talk to the maestro, because I know he's got something to say on that.
I mean, for me, I believe that story is the, like, connective tissue that happens in our body. Story connects us to people, to things, to places,
Why do we love grandma's house? Because the story we have in our head is when we went to grandma's house, we were fed, it smelled like cookies or macaroni and cheese, and we automatically are drawn right back to that feeling, that emotion. Why is it that men, as men, most of us have it so hard of getting over somebody being able to cook chicken better than our mama? Because the story that we have, our first memory of experiencing anything with fried chicken or a certain dish is with mom and the way she did it. You don't want it done any other way because you had it that way for years. So you've programmed that story and it's anchored in your actual physical DNA now that it's so hard to let go of. That is what story does for people. And as business owners, relating it back to business, that's what it does for us with business. I can still quote some of the 1980s commercials from McDonald's. I remember, you know, two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions,
lettuce,
on
cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Exactly. It's the story. It's programmed in your head. You can't forget it. And the most important thing about those messages, and then I'll pass it back to Art. The most important thing, this is what story does, and this is why these certain companies are so successful at their marketing and their branding, have three characteristics that people really don't even understand. They're simple, they're impactful, and they're relatable. Those three things are in what you're telling someone, oh, believe me, you will have them. But it has to be simple. The thing is, most business owners and entrepreneurs make it complex. That's why nobody can relate. That's why nobody remembers what the heck you do when you walk out of the room. I have no clue what you do because you told me a bunch of industry jargon. Now I'm not part of that industry. You didn't make it impactful. It was no emotional connection. You told me nothing that addressed anything that's affecting my world. Heck no, I'm not going to remember you. It was not relatable. You didn't take the time to ask me if I had the problem that you're trying to solve. Those are the mistakes, the most common mistakes that business owners make.
Is there ever a time when you may, let's say someone starts out and does everything that you two gentlemen just outlined. They've got a great story. They followed all of the guidelines that bring in what they're looking for, right? And they get the audience, their sales are up, and they're getting everything they need. Is there ever a time that story needs to be updated? When does the story run its course? Or
well,
is that
stories are, stories are dynamic, and I wanted to add this before we get to close because we're in the second half hour, and I think it's important to say there's a body of this, there's a theory, and it's called design thinking. Comes out of Silicon Valley, and it's evolved to become human-centered design thinking. And I'll go to a tagline that it has. It says, collaborate to co-create solutions. So we've been talking about story and become the mentor and make the people in the audience the hero in their own story and all that. And it's important to insert the notion that it's a collaboration. I don't just hand you a story, right? I hand you tools in that story that you can do something with. Right, and then I give you my email address so you can come back to me and let me help you use those tools, right? And it's not that I'm trying to sell you something. It's just that this is my mission. I know that I can help people change the trajectory of their lives or their businesses when they get their narrative straight, when they get their stories straight, whether it's their origin story, their founder story, their product story, their customer story, most importantly. And their evolution story, how they've evolved over time. If they don't have command of all five of those stories, they'll make it. They'll make money. They'll be a business. They might be a business for 20 years. If they get the command of those five stories, then they will thrive and they will grow. But most importantly, they'll make more meaning in the lives of the audience, the tribe that they serve, because it's about collaborating with that tribe to co-create the best solution for the people in your tribe. Because you've got knowledge, you've got value, you've got tools, whatever it is you have to offer. If you just say, look, I got this great stuff. Do you want some? Or you say, I've got this great stuff, and you've got those challenging problems. Why don't we get together and see how we can make my great stuff even better to serve you? That's a story. That's a story in service to solving a problem together, collaborating to co-create. So I don't want to leave the impression that the storyteller is always in the front of the room, and you just hand the story and people run off and do your bidding. In the modern world we live in, it's more about collaborating, using the stories to start the collaboration so you can co-create the optimal solution that people can do the most with to make meaning in their business or their life.
And that's why the story is dynamic, because our lives are dynamic. If McDonald's was still singing to all beef patty special sauce pickles, we would kind of be worn out with that story. But they changed the narrative, but they stick true to the same type of theme. They want it to be about family and driving the family point home, that they're a family restaurant, it's affordable, things of that nature, all the underlying meanings. So story should be consistently evolving, because we are not the same person that we were a year ago. Hopefully, let me say that. And if the story does not evolve with that, with your clients, because guess what? The needs that they had a year, even 6 months ago, hopefully they don't have that exact same need now, because they're growing as companies, as families. So your story must be consistently dynamic. And I just want to say something, stepping back to what Art was saying about, you know, that it's not about the speaker in the front of the room. It's never about the speaker in the front of the room. If someone is up there for egotistical purposes, then they aren't storytelling at all. They're trying to sell you something. See, because without the connection that real storytellers want, because people don't follow you because of what you're doing, because of what you have. People follow you because for their own reasons. For their own reasons, they're aligned with that. You know, Simon Sinek talked about that a lot when he was talking about Martin Luther King. You know, he didn't give the "I have a plan" speech. He gave the "I have a dream" speech. And because other people had that same vision for what they wanted to see for this country, people aligned with him for their own purposes. If he just said, "Hey, I want to change the country," it's not right. Black people need justice, and it's about me. I said I want us to have justice. No, he was preaching we, and as a world we can be better, and that would make everyone for future generations feel better. That's what people align with, and that's what storytelling does. That's what storytellers do. And if you are able to create that in your business, you can change the world and help the people that you really want to help.
So Dr. King is a great example, because you use Dr. King, and what Dr. King was really good at was knowing his audience. And knowing he was in service to an audience of, I think, not just Americans, but he spoke to people around the world, right?
Absolutely.
And it was a making meaning mission that he was on. So when he told that "I have a dream" speech, right, he was inserting his narrative, his vision, directly into my heart and my gut, right? Oxytocin was flowing through everybody's brains and bodies. Biology was changing. They listened to that story. I swear that had to happen, because I know every time I listen to it, the same thing happens. Because that story is inserted directly into my bloodstream, and my moral molecules start flowing, the oxytocin, and I can't stop it. I can't help it. It's that compelling of a story, because it's a story that resonates with humans that care about humans. And I want to go to the notion of dynamic just a minute, because stories have to be dynamic in 2017 and beyond because we live in a time of what I call digital Darwinism. I remember I'm a technologist, right? So I've been dealing with the patterns of technology have been advancing for the almost 25, 30 years I've been fooling with this stuff. And the pace is quickening. Digital Darwinism is an idea that technology digital Darwinism happens to people in businesses when technology advances faster than people and businesses can keep up. I was reading an article today about artificial intelligence and machine learning, blockchain, cryptocurrencies. If it advances faster than we can keep up, that causes chaos in our lives, right? And that chaos makes us worried about our job, if we're going to get disintermediated, otherwise my job going to go away because this new technology is coming. So when you know that that's happening and you understand the landscape, you don't just have to understand the audience. You've got to understand the world that they live in and what's going on around them. The world is like the old expression, right? A butterfly flaps its wings in Japan, it causes a tornado in Kentucky, right? That's like saying if I don't see machine learning and artificial intelligence coming, and I tell a story absent that knowledge, am I really serving the audience that I'm talking to? Or if I don't take machine learning and artificial intelligence and break it down into English language, and although people know it's coming, they sense and they feel that their jobs are insecure because of something. They don't know what it is. When I get that awareness, because I see the patterns as a presenter, then I can speak to that angst in their heart and their gut. I can speak to the pain that keeps them up at 3 o'clock in the morning. But if I don't study the landscape, the entire landscape that people exist in, my tribe lives in the landscape that's challenged, and that's digital Darwinism is creating chaos in their lives, and it's making businesses disappear. If I'm not aware of that, then my stories are not going to be as thought-provoking. They won't be as insightful. They won't be as compelling. So this goes back to doing the work. Because if I'm just throwing stories out there, you know, I'm trying to be Yoda to Luke Skywalker, and I'm just throwing stories, I should probably be laying down musical tracks and hoping that they sell, because I'm not going to call people to action without the band playing in the background, right? I mean, if you just want to use a story, just use your ideas and use your words, you've got a whole bunch of work to do. So I personally don't want to leave anybody with the impression that get your story on, you'll be fine. No, do the work. Understand the landscape. Understand the people in that landscape. Understand, choose your tribe. Say, I'm going to help those people. I'm going to help these businesses. And then study them.
I would say, and just to stand on your shoulders, to me, and it goes back to, again, real storytellers care. And if you care, you do the work. People that don't care don't work. It's just that simple. There are people that go to their jobs every day that perform functions and do the bare minimum because they really don't care. They're there for a paycheck. And then there are some people that show up at work. There are some, I mean, no matter how menial the job, they just show up with an enthusiasm and a zest for it because they care. They actually care about what's happening. And I would put it on the business owner and on the entrepreneur that if you really care about why you're doing your work, then you will do the work anyway. That doesn't, I don't think that even has to be said, because there are some people that don't care and they're not going to do the work. They're going to just try to sell you on whatever the product is and tell you that their product is better than the next product and it's cheaper. Okay, we've heard that story 5 million times, and that sucks. But the companies that have a lasting connection with their clients, the same thing you were talking about, Dr. T. The reason why I still am stuck with, you know, Google phones over iPhones, because I happen to love Google. I like what Google does. I like how the company is. I have an allegiance to the way that they have put their mission forth for the world. And not saying that Apple doesn't have a great mission, but I align with what Google has talked about. That is the essence. I want storytellers to business owners to understand, entrepreneurs, salespeople. When you tell your stories, care. Tell them with care. If you start there, people care about people that care about them.
Get right on.
Nobody wants
right
to be
on.
In love by themselves.
So here's the deal. It's you can be in business to make money, and you can tell stories that will help you make money. I could tell stories all day, and I could sell stuff.
Right.
But when you are in the business of and let's talk about selling stories to telling stories to sell stuff. We'll go back to the, you know, hold the lettuce, hold the pickle, you know, those jingles. Think about post-World War II. Boom time in America. Madison Avenue reigned supreme. Guys, and it was Mad Men. They made a TV show about it. They were Mad Men. You know, I Dream of Jeannie, right? I mean, the Mad Men that were, they would put a guy on a horse in the desert and give him a pack of Marlboros and say, smoke, you can be like him. They were the modern myth makers. Remember, Joseph Campbell studied myth throughout time. And myth is what was used to govern societies back in the day. Right? We didn't have books. We didn't have the internet. The stories are what governed society. And those were the myths that governed those societies and told them when to hunt and when to fish and what to do and what not to eat and who to look up to and who to follow. Those were the stories. They made the myths. The Madison Avenue myth makers boondoggled us. That hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, that was just to get us to eat burgers and make money for those companies. That the Cadillac with the fins on the back. Buy one, you know, there was Dinah Shore, sung a song at every show she had. I think it was on every night or once a night or once a week, something like that. And she said, see the USA in the Chevrolet, then buy one every 3 years. It was basically the jingle. So people were buying cars every 3 years. Why did you need to buy a car every 3 years? Because Madison Avenue wanted you to. That was about making money. That wasn't about making meaning. Those were the myth makers that told the stories that you know, be Tony the Tiger, eat more frosted flakes. You can think of everything that was purchased from 1950 until 1999. And there was a story that was told to make us buy stuff after. In the new millennia, in this 21st century, we now have this tool. I'm talking on this phone that's bigger than the computers I sold 25 years ago, more powerful. That I could say, okay, Siri, what about, hey, Google, what about, I get answers that I needed other people to give me the answers for. I have them at my disposal. So I am the most empowered consumer ever. I don't believe the BS that comes from Madison Avenue anymore. I believe in Google because they give me great technology, but I also know that their intention is to do no harm in their business, right? And I'm saying all that to say that there was a period in the history of the Western world where the myth makers, the modern myth makers, lived on Madison Avenue, and they told us what to buy, and they made us consumers of stuff. Now we want more from the myths that we believe, and each of us has the power to create our own stories about our brands and why our brands are the brands that should rise above the noise, and you should pay attention to us because we're in service to you. Collaborate to co-create solutions for your tribe. So don't be a myth maker like Madison Avenue. You can do that. But if you do that, you're not my ideal prospect because I'm in service to people that are here to make meaning. And the funny thing is when you make meaning, you'll make just as much money, if not more, than the person held bent on just making money.
I will add to that, and then I will let it go. About Madison Avenue, one of the most famous lines from old Westerns, because my mother loved Westerns. Oh, my gosh. My mother would make me watch these Westerns till 2-3 in the morning with her, and it was miserable for me, but I enjoyed it because I was sitting with my mother, and that's what she wanted me to do, and also it stopped me from getting my behind whooped. So I had a double benefit. But there's an old Western called Who Shot Liberty Valance? And it's an old movie with John Wayne in it, And at the end of the movie, they were talking to the guy that claimed he shot Liberty Valance. And they found out, really, that he was not the guy. By talking to him and listening to the recount, and they were like, he didn't do it. And the guys got up and they said, okay, we got everything we need. And the guy thought they were leaving and not going to do the book deal. And he said, what? So my book deal's dead? He said, sir, when the legend becomes true, print the legend. They aren't concerned with truth.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't know the movie, but I know the line. I don't know the movie, but I definitely know the line.
Exactly. It is exactly how marketers for years were taught. We don't care what's true. If we can make them believe it's true, put it on paper. And they will buy it. And now we are moving more towards more human-centered design, as Art is talking about. And the people that are really doing big things now are really about making meaning in this world. Most of these companies that are successful are disrupting the status quo of what normal corporate America has found to be successful. And these people are chasing meaning. These people are on a heartfelt mission, a heart-centered mission to really help people solve real problems. Not like, hey, I need a 99-cent cheeseburger. So it's
like Tom's shoes and stuff like that, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I just wanted to say that, you know, that it's not really about Madison Avenue anymore. And most of the people we're talking to are not Madison Avenue execs. So you wouldn't even have the budget to make the legend true yourself. So it's best to come from your heart. Really
so,
know
so
what
I'm gonna,
it is you want to serve.
I want to end on the idea that just remember humans are wired for story. And when you're thinking of telling stories, first think of collaborating to co-create the ideal stories, but you can do that by simply talking to the people that you want to be in service to. If you've got an ideal prospect that you defined and you are going to start selling to them, talk to them first and say, here's what I've got to offer. And that's the problem I think you've got. How do these things work together? And they might help you build a better story about the product that you're offering people just like that person you're talking to. And when it comes to story, it's not hard. And just remember these wise words from Yoda. There's no try, only do.
I like that. Well, gentlemen, we are coming up at the end of our hour. This was a very informative show. I filled out a page and a half of notes. But I had a question that I think is going to be a great setup for our next show. We talked a lot about businesses and storytelling. I would love to have a discussion, but there's a lot of independent contractors, independent workers in different fields out here, and they're not marketing a product other than themselves and their service. And I imagine there has got to be a different approach in whether or not storytelling is relevant, or is there a certain type of storytelling, or are there other strategies for individuals who operate in that field? And one just comes to mind. I had a great conversation. I was in Chicago this weekend, and one of the people on my shoot with me was an independent cameraman. It works out of New York, and the production company that I was working with hired this individual. But they work a lot in the film industry, and they were growing. And they said, hey, I've got to move from just people calling me up to I see this now as a business opportunity. And I went, you might want to talk to some of my friends. So I thought we'd do a show because I run into many people who fall into that category or are thinking about taking their skills and wares and providing a service independently.
Oh, yes. That is something we can definitely do. I would say that story still comes into play, but it is always come into play. It's how they would do it. But, yes, that is a great topic. I would love to discuss that further on the next show.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, quick rundown. How does anyone get in touch with Gerald DeBose?
Well, if they want to get in touch with me, they can find me at my website, which is thenewwealthorder.com, thenewwealthorder.com. They can find me on Twitter at Gerald with two D's, NWO. And they can also find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, just Gerald DeBose, D as in David, U, D as in Bob, O, S, E. No I am he, D-U-B-O-S-E. Not DuBois, DeBose.
But I thought you were getting ready to do an old McDonald song. That's a lot of Hey, but folks, if you go to Collaborative Authority, go to Gerald DeBose's website, and you can find him. He is an astounding leader in business, and he has worked with many Fortune 500 company leadership, and you will find some good advice and some good insight. And Art Jones, how can listeners get in touch with Art Jones? And Art also, for those of you, and I did not discuss this earlier, but Art also runs a brand storytelling, and this is why he was so articulate about this topic. And he basically runs, I don't know any other way to say it, but brand coaching and marketing. And he's very good at it, and he's been at it quite a long time and has worked with Fortune 100 companies and startups. Art, how does someone find Art Jones?
I'm Art Jones everywhere on my social graph. Now, there's another Art Jones who was a defensive end for the Baltimore Colts. I'm not him. I'm not an NFL player. So when you find that guy that's 6'6", 280 pounds, look for the other Art Jones. You'll find me. And you could also go, if you're not going to go to Art Jones and any of the social platforms like Instagram or Facebook, you'll find that it's yourstorylab.com. Or artjones.tv, or The Art of Standing Out.
The Art of Standing Out, and again, Story Lab. So when Art was discussing with us about storytelling, he has a lab, and he actually works people through that. So that's a good tool to have. Gentlemen, thank you guys again for another good show, and I'm looking forward to us getting together again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am too.
Thank you so much, Dr. T.
Thanks, Dr.
T. Hey, anytime. You guys have a good evening.
You too.
You.
Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Folks, be sure to tune in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for It Ain't That Early Morning Show with Dr. T and Myla G. Boy, do we have a lot of stuff to discuss. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Until then, everybody have a good evening.
You've been in the bullpen with Dr. T. Follow Dr. T on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. T Educates. And on the web, visit www.drteducates.com. Join us every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern in the bullpen with Dr. T. Become empowered. Get involved.